morning. So we're going to continue the second week of Be the Change, Executive Orders Spring Edition. All right. And so executive orders, we're still in this executive order series. And so I want to pray. Lord, thank you for this day. This is a beautiful day. This is a gorgeous day. This is a wonderful day. This is a blessed day because this is the day that you, Yahweh, you have made. You've constructed this day. You created this day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for this teaching. We thank you for what it represents, not only for the house of Judah, but for the kingdom. We love you. We appreciate you. Your mercy endures forever and throughout all generations. Everybody say all. All generations. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, got a question. Did you guys gap last week? Y'all gap? Maybe some of you guys are the fruit of the gapping. But did something from last week, did something wake up in you as it relates to souls? Did you have a new thirst to see people in the house of God? Did y'all have a new thirst to see people in the house of God? If you were not here, it's okay. It's okay to want people to experience a new restaurant or a new song or a new city or a new island. Amen. Y'all want to go to that island? I want to go to a new island. Amen. But we should want people to experience God, the God that we trust, the God that we love. Amen. The God that we believe in. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, some trust in Teslas. I ain't gonna go there. But we believe and we trust in the name of God. Amen. We trust in the name of the Lord. And so I want to do a quick review from last week. Maybe 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, because I left off some things last week. But today I want to talk about something. Go and pollinate. Don't go and persecute. Go and pollinate, because this is be the change. Be the change. Amen. Today I want to talk about go and pollinate. Don't go and persecute. Look out for gap sabotages. So if you were not here last week, gap basically means go and pollinate. From Matthew 28, go and make. Go and make. And so our anchor scripture, we're going to read that real quick. It is Matthew 28. Gap. Everybody say gap. Go and pollinate. Go and make. Matthew 28. I did leave out some things last week. Matthew 28, verse 16. Turn there. I have it on the screen for you guys, VIP, concierge. Matthew 28, verse 16. Read it with me. Ready, set, go. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I do want to stop there. I have a habit of. First of all, it should have been 12 disciples. Last week we said that one was missing. Who's missing? Judah's missing because he's what? He's dead. He betrayed Jesus. He committed suicide. So Jesus told them to go to this mountain. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But this is what I left off last week. You mean to tell me some of the 11 doubted? But when some saw, they did what? But some doubted. Some worshiped him, and some did what? They doubted. Let's keep reading. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven. Y'all not reading? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, gap. Go and make disciples of all nations. There it goes again. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. In other words, executive orders. But when some saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. To me, that's problematic. Amen? That's problematic. But because you've been walking with Jesus for all of these years, and you don't recognize Jesus? So some worship and some doubt it. But actually, that word is not as connected to disbelief as you think. It's actually translated from a word. I do have it on the screen here, so you won't see it in your Bible like this. But it's translated from a Greek word, distazo, which don't necessarily mean unbelief. It just means hesitation. So, but when some saw Jesus, they worshiped. And when some saw Jesus, they didn't necessarily not believe. They just hesitated. It means to hesitate or to waver, distazo, rather than full denial of the faith. Amen? So they should have recognized Jesus. Yes, he was in a different state, but they should have with look at somebody and say, who doubted? I know I'm just who do y'all got the tea? I wonder who doubted. I wonder who hesitated. Because we got to get the hesitators out the camp. Amen. Where are the hesitators in the room? If the disciples who were closest to Jesus hesitated, you know in 2025, because this series is about filling the pews. Amen. It's about filling the pew. It's about butts in the seat. Now, you know, if the disciples hesitated in 2025, folks are going to hesitate coming to this church that may be unfamiliar. Make sense? And in this effort to fill the pews, to get butts, souls of Judah, y'all want to hear them? There are other reasons people may hesitate coming to the house of Judah. Y'all want to hear them? Number one, fear of change. Because when you come into the house of God, there should be a change. And there's maybe this misnomer that, man, I need to get myself together. I may need to shave. I may need to put on a suit. I may need to get my eyebrows waxed. I may need to bring a friend. I may need to be perfect. So that's reason number one. Number two, it may be a fear of being hurt. Number three, fear of being condemned. Not judge, condemn. How are we going to get familiar to the fruit around us? Because out of sight, out of mind. The person with the most presence has the most influence. Say that with me. The person with the most presence has the most influence. Think about it. We as parents, or you as parents, me and Lex, we don't have any kids. We can claim on our taxes. It's tax season. We'll take all those kids around about this time. Amen. But we can't claim them on our taxes. But think about it as parents. You as parents have the most influence on your child. Why? Because of proximity. The person, the church with the most presence in the community has the most what? Influence. Jesus said, make disciples of what? Come on, read it with me. Go and pollinate. That's what the P stands for. Go and make instead of gam. Go and make. Go and pollinate. Go and make disciples of what? All nations. Everybody's welcome. Say it with me. Because I know we lost sleep. I lost sleep last night too. So this will keep us awake. Everybody say, all nations. All nations. Everybody's welcome here at the house of Judah. Amen. Say, everybody's welcome. Say that with me. Everybody's welcome. At this time, Jesus is saying, go and make disciples of all nations. Do you know at that time, we're talking about 60 to 100 different people groups. Roughly 60 upwards to 100 different nations. You think gapping was easy? You're talking about 11 disciples had to go and gap, go and pollinate, go and make. Do you think that was easy? You're talking about Judea. You're talking about Egypt. Now, I'm not going to mention all 60 or 100 because I don't even know the people groups. Amen. You're talking about they have to go to Greece. I wish I was a disciple. They have to go to Italy. They have to go to Turkey, modern day Turkey. They have to go to Spain, and they have to do what? They have to gap. Gap. If you were not here last week, If you're listening online, you're watching online, listen to the playback. GAP stands for Go and Pollinate. Quick review. I got two more minutes to review. Pollinate means we are pollinators. So you see on the screen, a butterfly can be a pollinator. The wind can be a pollinator. Obviously, a bee, which is the graphic for this series. Basically, a pollinator. Everybody say pollinator. It spreads reproductive cells, sperm, if you will, seeds, if you will. Amen? And it takes the reproductive cells, and it takes it to actually other flowers, and it actually, if the flower reproduces, it there's an increase. Birds can be a pollinator. Everybody say pollinator. I took off the bat because I felt bad saying, I thought y'all thought I was calling y'all bats last week. I took it off. So it ain't up there. Butterfly seems more fitting. Amen. Look at somebody say, you're a beautiful butterfly. Butterflies can be a pollinator, basically transporting or spreading seeds. Birds, even the wind can be a pollinator. Go and pollinate. What are we as humans pollinating? What are we spreading? The gospel of Jesus. God has been good to us. Look at us. God has been good to us. We are spreading the good news. Of course, they're going to want to come. When they see the joy of the Lord on us, when they see us excited about God, I want to go where I want to go to and whoever is responsible for the joy that's on you. Amen. 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 Can we just look happy in Jesus for 20 seconds like he's been good to us? Amen. Amen. He's been, they should want to go and pollinate. Don't go and persecute. Go and pollinate. Don't go and persecute. Go and pollinate. Don't go and persecute. Now, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, the title of the teaching that particular day was Avoid TSR. And what does TSR mean? That seems right. The title of that teaching was There is a Way, TSR, that seems right. That seems right. And to me, TSR is the new flu. It's the new flu, not the new allergies. You got to, some people think that people got the flu, see? That ain't the flu. That cough ain't the flu. It's allergies. Amen. Man, I took my Claritin, my Allegra this morning. I almost took two just so I can get up here and be and operate. Amen. But TSR is the new flu. Alpheus, why are you saying that? Because it's going around everywhere. Why do I say that? Many people make up their own rules about life and even about evangelism frameworks. This way, I think it should be done this way. All of these subjective frameworks. TSR, a way that seems right. Can we bring back the WWJD movement? Get the bracelet, get the necklace, get the t-shirts, the hoodies, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Some say preach against sin. Some say baptize this way. Arrange your church this way. Put lights this way. Be nice to the people. Be bold. But what would Jesus do? How would Jesus pollinate? How would Jesus compel them to come? First of all, we have to get into the mind of Jesus. Amen? Jesus is polite, but Jesus is also straightforward. Jesus is telling it like it is. I mean, we read in the Bible where Jesus, there are let me correct you passages. Jesus would say something like, you heard it this way, but I say, that got a little stink on it. You heard it said this way, but let me correct you. It could be nice, nasty. You ever heard of nice, nasty? People like, she's nice, but she's nice, nasty. Perhaps. I'm not saying that was Jesus, but Jesus definitely had a tone. He even said in Luke 12, write it down, Luke 12, verse 51. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to divide, to cause division. What does that sound like? What kind of tone does that sound like? Jesus said, I came to divide. He said, do you think I come to bring peace on earth? Luke 12. No, I tell you, but division. Jesus called folk vipers and snakes. He told parables, and at the end of the parable, you felt like, oh, Jesus said, don't do that. Don't act like that. So, yes, grace, but you will also see this balanced side of Jesus where he encourages us to have compassion, grace, and love. Make sense? Amen? You can take a screenshot because I don't have time to go through this list, but I think I provided a list. Jesus, don't preach against sin. What? Take a screenshot. Hypocrisy, greed, and materialism. Those of us that really likes our nice things, Jesus got something to, he got something to say to you. Amen. Of course, this will be on the website. Those of us that are struggling with forgiveness, immorality, lust, neglecting justice and mercy. Amen. Obviously, God is about justice and mercy. Amen. But everybody say justice. Everybody say justice. That's a buzzword these days. Everybody say justice. His way. Anthropomorphically speaking, we have a way that we try to put on God. How he, TSR, that seems right. God, you need to get him. Kill him. There's a thing going on Facebook. Kill him. Kill the president. Let him die. What are we doing? Jesus also says to do what? Pray for. Y'all take this live now. I'm just kidding. He said, pray for your what? Your enemies. Whoever you see as an enemy. I know we don't want to do it. I know you don't want to do it. You don't want to pray for Jeremiah. You don't want to pray for James. You don't want to pray for your brother. You don't want to pray for the president. Get on your knees and pray for him. He's our leader. Amen. This is not even in my notes. Or to change, because who's going to change X, Y, and Z? Who has the power to change X, Y, and Z? Scream his name. Yahweh. God has the power. TSR, that seems right. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Perhaps nice, nasty. Yes, he will get you together. Gap is about basically evangelizing, spreading and sharing the gospel. But think about it this way. Think about it this way. Write this down. Righteous correction with redeeming compassion. While I'm on the subject, I know this fits. Righteous correction. Where does the right come from? If I'm lifting up righteous correction, I'm correcting you. But where does the right come from? If you have it in your hand, it comes from the Bible. It comes from what spirit? The spirit of what? The spirit of Alpheus or the spirit of God? Righteous correction with redeeming compassion. Y'all see this balance? There could be a level of, as we at this church, Alpheus included, we go in gap and say, this is a famous nickname when we're trying to prove a point. I'm sorry, I don't know who this is. Ray Ray, you need to come to church. Pookie, you need to come to church. There could be this level of, who do you think you are telling me I need to change? You're judging me. What's wrong with me? And why do I want to come to your church? Remember I said the objections, I listed it maybe 3 minutes ago, why they may not want to come to not just this church, but just to church. Fear of hurt, fear of wanting to change. So what do we do with that? Write this down. I think you'll like this, especially the young people. But Jesus perhaps is encouraging us to have this clap back with compassion. Everybody say clap back with compassion. Everybody say confront sin and extend grace. So I want to lift this passage real quick. Y'all okay? Y'all good? Is this making sense? Y'all see where I'm going, hopefully. Pollinate, don't persecute. Go and pollinate. Gap, don't go and persecute. This passage that I'm about to lift, many of us, we know this. If you don't know this, it's basically about a woman in the Bible caught in the act of adultery. That is interesting in itself. She was caught in the act of adultery. And it seems to be a great passage to lift as a blueprint. But just so you know that in an effort to be accurate, this text is actually under scrutiny to this day. What do I mean by that? Even still, to this day, this text is fair and balanced, but you got to know that many scholars believe that this passage that I'm about to read, the woman caught in the act of adultery, many scholars believe that this story circulated as only an oral tradition about Jesus. Mercy and forgiveness. Now it fits, amen, even if it's made up. And many believe, some scholars believe that it was added later. It was added to John's gospel because it aligns with his character. Amen. I mean, I can make up a story that aligns with the character of Jesus, but we have to call it what it is. It is not scripture. Amen. It's a story that Alpheus made up. And so I am going to read this, but even in your Bible, you will see a footnote about this discrepancy centered around the scripture. Have anybody ever seen that in your Bible? There's actually a footnote that says, hey, this may not be like a part of the original text. It was added, I want to say in the original, maybe 5th century. I stand corrected that it was added in the 5th century. And the original text was lifted around the 4th century. All right, y'all can dig into that. But many scholars believe that it was added later and was not a part of John's original text. I'm trying to give this disclaimer because I'm about to attempt to make it plain with this passage. So again, notice in your Bible, it's marked with footnotes. I'm acknowledging the manuscript issues. That's really what I'm trying to say. There are issues with this text, but it teaches and preaches well. It's so fair and balanced. Because it's about grace, and it's like this grace and gut truth model. Everybody say grace and gut truth. Everybody say grace and gut truth. All right, so let's read this. John 8. Already I see, I'm just lifting this. You will see Jesus and you will see all. It's amazing that many times in scriptures you will see Jesus and you will see all. We have to remember this at the house of Judah. All people are welcome here. Amen. All people are welcome here. Amen. Ready, set, go. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to do what? To teach them. Amen. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to kill this woman by stoning her." Now, what you got to say about this? They were trying to trap Jesus, trick Jesus. They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin first do what? Throw a stone at her." This is so fair and balanced. Grace, but also gut truth. John 8:10, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one," what? Go next week's. "Has no one," what? "Condemn you." He didn't say judge. He said, "Has no one," what? "Condemn you." I can hear her say, "No, sir, I don't see nobody." "Then neither do I," what? Judge? No, it didn't say judge. Neither do I what? Condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and do what? Leave your life of sin. Go and pollinate. Don't go and persecute. Now, Jesus is getting her together. He's letting her know she is wrong as two left shoes. But you see how he did it? Where are the accusers? He waited until he got her by herself. And he read her like a book, quick and straight to the point. Notice how Jesus handled this fruit. Last week, the title of the teaching was what? What kind of fruit? Rotten fruit. Notice how Jesus handled this fruit in this passage. How did he handle this fruit? Because this woman is vulnerable. This woman has been caught in the act of doing something wrong. She is feeling guilty, I'm sure. She's feeling ashamed. She already knows she's wrong. So what should be our posture? Jesus has given us three things here in the text. Number one, our fruit, not a persecutor. This fruit, we should call her fruit, all right, just for the sake of example. She needed something. Number two, she needed answers. She needed an advocate. She needed answers. This fruit needed an assignment. What did Jesus say in this passage? She needed an assignment from Jesus. Jesus declared, go now and do what? Leave your life of sin. She needed an assignment. She needed an advocate. Guys, this city from the house of Judah needs an advocate. The fruit out there need an advocate. Everybody say, I'm an advocate. They need answers. The fruit that's about to rot around this church needs answers. The worship leader said this morning, I really didn't know this personally. He said there's a lot of homeless people around this church. My goodness, they need an advocate. They're vulnerable. They're hurting. They already know they're homeless. The last thing we should do is go out there and take care of their needs. I'm not saying we're going to do this, but this is something I see that's trending. And get our cell phones and go live and let everybody know and market that. Amen? 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 They need answers and they need an assignment. Yes, we want God to move on their behalf, but then we also should consider giving them 1, 2, 3 steps on how to transition from homelessness, amen, to a home, to a dwelling. Jesus protected this fruit from persecutors, from hackers, from attackers that were there to harm her. Everybody say pollinate, don't persecute. Everybody say, pollinate, don't persecute. When the fruit is in a vulnerable state, they need an advocate. They need answers. They need an assignment. Amen? So last week, I missed this one detail last week, and I think I'm finished after I lift this detail. I think I'll be finished, and y'all will get the bottom line. Y'all will see how this is basically a number two, part two of last week. I was supposed to lift something else this week, but I'm going to try to get to that next week. Amen. I'm here 3 weeks in a row. Let's go. All right. Nobody clapping. I'll clap. I'm just saying. I'm excited about it. I missed this last week because you would never exhaust everything in God's word in one sitting. Amen. Jesus said in the text last week in Matthew 9, he said, I'm concerned about the fruit. He said, I'm really concerned about the fruit. And that's why he said the harvest, we ended last week, the harvest is what? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. How did I miss this last week? And I highlighted it for you guys. Of course, it's not in your Bible like this. And I highlighted it for me. So I won't forget. And I got my new glasses today. They came in. They're two-tiered. Y'all know what that means when they're two-tiered. Don't y'all say it. There's a different prescription up here, and then there's a different prescription down here. Amen. I didn't know I needed it. Go get checked up. Go get your eye exam. So my computer screen, I can see it better like this and then from a distance. And so somebody whispered in my ear, because y'all know she can, you got bifocals. I missed this last week, but I ain't missing it this week. Let's read it. Ready, set, go. And Jesus went throughout, there it is again, all the cities. Jesus and all seems to go together. Judah and all has to make sense. Amen. Amen. Judah and all, the house of Judah and all has to make sense. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, harassed the fruit because they were what? This is what I missed last week. They were harassed. The fruit was harassed and helpless. The fruit was harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to 11 disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Harassed and helpless when they are unharvested or untouched, unmanaged, uncovered. When we don't give attention, when we don't gap, when we don't pollinate. Fruit can last week, rotten fruit, a fruit, an orange can rot because it's not harvested, but it can also rot because of other insects or attacking it or hackers. It's vulnerable. It's in a vulnerable state when it's untouched, unharvested. So yes, it may rot because we're not spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not evangelizing. But it is very much vulnerable. Just like the woman caught in the act of adultery, she's vulnerable. Amen. They brought the law of Moses and they lifted that in order to kill her. Am I making sense? Without laborers and harvesters, the fruit is harassed and spiritually vulnerable. Y'all see these guys out here? They're vulnerable. Jesus said, I'm concerned because go back to that scripture, sweets. They were harassed and helpless. I got a question. Who were they harassed by? Who's messing with the fruit? Who are they? The fruit is vulnerable. But it said they were helpless and they were harassed by who? The same people in John 8 who harassed the woman caught in the act of adultery in John 8. The same people that are harassing the people in Matthew 9. So the fruit is going to absolutely rot and going to get harassed and eaten alive if we don't harvest the fruit because of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He wants to what? Have you and sift you as wheat. But Jesus said what? There it goes again. I mean, I'm thinking the same way we left. Sweets, get ready. The same way we left last week is coming back again. After that passage, at the end of that particular scripture, Jesus said, the enemy desires to do what? Sift you, have you and sift you as wheat. But what did Jesus say to Peter? Don't worry. I'm not calling for angels. I'm not gonna call the army from heaven, which I can. She just said, what? Don't worry. I what? What? I prayed for you. I'm like, it seems like that's like, go back to Matthew 9. Now Jesus is saying, hey guys, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But therefore, do what? The same thing he told Peter, he's telling us here, pray. Step number one, we just can't seem to skip that step in filling the pews. Amen. Because we got to know what to do. We have to know how to handle the fruit. Amen. We got to know how to deal with the fruit. We have to know how to deal with homeless people. I'm not trained to deal with bipolar folks. I'm getting trained. I just received a little certificate. I don't think that's enough. And I'm saying a little certificate, but I mean, how do we deal with the fruit? Go back to the picture suites. How do we deal with young people? How do we keep young people in this church? How do we deal with the person on the left? How do we deal with the successful vulnerable? They're successful, but they're still vulnerable. They rot too. Businessmen has the capability of rotting. Amen? How do we deal with the college student? The single mom? The homosexual? What do we do? How do we extend grace and tell a gut-wrenching truth? They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a what? A shepherd. They're not covered. Faith ain't the only thing that comes by hearing. We know the Bible says faith comes by hearing, I'm finished, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, but faith ain't the only thing that comes by hearing. Fear comes by hearing something. That's why USA seems to have a lot of people that are scared, because they are what? Faith ain't having great comes by hearing. A lot of kids, I know what I'm talking about, are not having great night sleep, having a good night's sleep, not having great dreams. They're making bad decisions. Because faith ain't the only thing that comes by hearing. How are they going to hear? We need a preacher. We need a teacher. We need pollinators. Amen. This gapping thing is not seasonal. Amen. It's not, we fill up the church and we done gapping. I just want to warn us, because it's going to happen. But once the church, once the pews are full, guess what we continue to do? Gap. Go and pollinate, because the sheep are helpless and they are being harassed. So I'm finished. If you feel like resting on your feet. So without revelation, there's going to be spiritual confusion and lost identity. And the fruit in Matthew 9 is spiritually confused and unsure where to turn for fruit, for truth. And so they're ignorant, humbly speaking. I mean, the fruit out there, they're ignorant. They don't have revelation. They're not hearing the word of God. And when you don't have revelation, you're not hearing. You're faithless. If your ears are shut, you're not full of faith. If your ears are shut to the word of God, how in the world we're gonna last? And I know I'm speaking for some, but I'm full of faith. But I'm speaking for some. How are we gonna last 4 years like this? Like, how are we gonna get through this next 4 years navigating this leadership and what's going on in the world? It's faith. It's what you hear. Amen. Not what's coming from CNN, social media, but what's coming from this pulpit. What's coming from the Bible, whoever it may be. Amen. Just take me out the picture. Whatever's coming from this area is going to contribute to us getting through. through the next 4 years. Amen. Getting through the next 8 years, the next 16 years, the rest of our days. So Jesus, you're not giving me a step one, step two, like go do this, this is how you should do it, quite just yet. That's going to come next week. But still today, he is asking us to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest in Matthew 9, to send out laborers into his harvest. I want y'all to see the scripture one more time. He says to do what? Put it up there, sweets. To pray earnestly. The same thing he told Peter. To the Lord of the harvest. To send out laborers in the harvest. Amen. If you enjoyed this teaching, clap your hands.